How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Football Friday edition of Birds 365, the first real Football Friday of the NFL season. Eagles back on the practice field, back for training camp this week. Paul Domowitz joining us now on Birds 365. Domo, how you doing this morning, man?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, Domo. We got to see, I talked a little bit about Vic. You saw, you may have heard in the opening, and you've known about Vic for as long as anybody in this town. Boy, he's a breath of fresh air, man. He just says what he wants and doesn't care. And, you know, it's phenomenal to this point.
He's Jim Johnson, too, when it comes to press conferences.
Yeah. You know, Bryce Hoff, he was like, no, he's not ready now. And I think people took that the wrong way. Certainly expects him to be ready by September 6th. Yeah. Analytics stuff was tremendous, which I thought was interesting. Vic doesn't even share his thoughts with his disciples, which I wonder if he shares them with Nick and Howie. I could see that being a problem. But
I loved his answer to somebody asked him about swagger.
Yeah, he's like,
oh, that was great.
I love it. I love it. He's like, he's got no time for the bullshit, Domo. Basically, that's what he's like. He's like, stop with that. Essentially, that's what he's saying. Yeah. Because everybody makes these things about swagger and, you know, can he play? Can he not play? That's pretty much Vic Fangio's world.
Yep.
And I think it's a good world to be in. And I can't say enough. I think more coordinators, head coaches should be that way, but I understand why they're not, because people take these things off in directions. Like if you read the transcript, he didn't say anything bad about Bryce Hoff, but a lot of people took it that way, Domo.
Yeah. And I mean, he was asked about competition. Now imagine what every defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator the Eagles have had over recent years would have answered that with some non-answer.
About, yeah.
There's competition at every spot. And he basically said linebacker, inside linebacker, quarterback.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. And it shows on the field because he's rotating guys in and out. And look, it's understandable. A corner, I think it's, you got a bunch of guys who I think can play, and you're just trying to figure out the best collaborative grouping. Linebacker, it's about finding guys who can play. And he said something about Nakobe, too, that a lot of people took the wrong way. And that's, you know, he's proven it at the college level, which is true. I mean, he hasn't done much at the NFL level, but I think there's hope and certainly that he's going to ultimately lock down that second position. And we'll see how it goes. But defensively, It's going to be interesting in the fact that they've kind of slowed down. I think the spring was they were making plays all over the place, and I'm not sure if that was Kellen Moore sort of trying to get Jalen Hurts better at what he is not great at, you know, throwing the football over the middle of the field, short stuff, forcing him sort of like a spring training pitcher. I made that analogy, forcing him to try some different things. And they haven't done as much as that, and all of a sudden the Eagles offense looks pretty sharp again. So your take sort of from that start from both sides of the football?
Well, I mean, Jalen is going to have to adjust this year because, you know, teams are going to take away exactly what they took away in the spring. I mean, they're going to make him do things he doesn't want, you know, that aren't his in his – highest comfort zone. You know, we've talked about this in the past. That includes throwing to his backs. I mean, he's going to have to do it because they're going to dare him to. And, you know, you want it. The bottom line is with a passing game is you want to get the ball to people in space. And he's going to have a lot of people in space. So yeah, he needs to recognize it quickly after the snap and get it to them. You know, I think we're going to see that ball out quicker this year with Kellen Moore's offense. And, you know, I think that's going to be a good thing for him because he's not going to take as many hits. I saw, the other day in practice, I mean, granted, this is non-contact, but, you know, I mean, he had Barkley open sometimes on, you know, to drop it off to, and he was hanging on to it and took sacks in the first practice. He, you know, that's what he needs to learn not to do. So we'll see how it goes.
Dama, how do you walk that fine line of getting Jalen to do some of those things and, you know, getting the ball out quicker, taking dump off to the running back, but also not changing the type of quarterback he is? Obviously, he possesses that big play ability at, you know, when the play breaks down, where he can kind of get outside and create something out of nothing. How do you walk that line as a coordinator coming in with a quarterback like Jalen Hurts?
Well, I mean, he's a smart guy, so I think he knows what he needs to do. It's just a matter of doing it when it's live. You know, I mean, good coaches convince their players what's best for them, what's best for the offense, what's best for the defense.
Right.
And I think that's what eventually Kellen Moore needs to do with Jalen. And again, like I said, I don't think Jalen needs a lot of convincing. You know, if the last seven games did nothing else last year, they should have convinced him what the defenses, you know, knew what they were doing and could take away whatever they wanted to. I mean, right. AJ Brown had no touchdowns in the last seven games. So, you know, they took him away. You know, he knows that now. He knows he's got to go someplace else to make them respect that and get AJ Brown open for the plays he wants to get the ball to him on. So we'll see, but I'm fairly confident that he's going to learn that, and that we'll see that once we get to September 7th.
You know, I forgot to mention when we're talking about Big Damo, I asked him about James Bradbury as well. I was thinking about, you know, Rod Woodson and Charles Woodson and you know, Ronnie Lott was a cornerback. And I said, you know, guys have done it. And he shut me down. He said, well, yeah, but not many. Paul, and he's right. So I give Vic the check mark there for correcting me. But at the end he said, oh, and he'll play some cornerback for us. And that's always been my concern with Howie kicking the can down the road on James Bradbury. If Vic gets him and he's got him and he sees, wow, this guy knows how to play, especially with all these complicated zone coverages, and some of the young guys are having difficulty picking up some of this stuff, all of a sudden you're playing James Bradbury. And I don't think the Eagles want to play James Bradbury.
Yeah.
Is that a danger?
I mean, Vic's going to play the best guys. He does. You're right. He doesn't care what Howie thinks. I mean, Howie knows that. I mean, they brought him in here. They know what they're getting. And he wants him to play the best guys. I just don't think James Bradbury is going to be one of the best guys. So I don't think that's a concern. I mean, I think unless everybody, you know, starts getting hamstrings and torn Achilles, there's just no way I see this guy being on the
I always thought he was a perfect fit for a Fangio defense. And you saw it in 2022. I mean, he was a second team all pro because he's such a savvy player, he's never been about speed to begin with.
Yeah.
And I think last year things went awry. By the way, Jordan Mailata had a great quote. He's sick of last year. Brookie, our buddy, you know, is on the beat of what happened last year. And I think he's trying to get blood from a stone at this point. And I think the Eagles have kind of signaled what it was, and coordinators and what they think. And then conditioning's been a big part of camp so far. And I think, you know, maybe this laissez-faire approach, so to speak, didn't work out as well last year.
Yeah.
But from the larger standpoint of you know, what happened last year, can you just turn the page? I think you can. I mean, sometimes you just chalk it up to things went awry. I mean, you've changed coordinators. You change what more can you do than try to fix it, I guess.
Flush it, as Hurts used to say.
Yeah, flush it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. You've got new coordinators, so that helps convince the players that, you know, things are going to be different. You know, they played pretty well for 11 games last year. So I'm sure that, you know, they're not showing a lot of film of those last seven games lately when they look back. Yeah, I don't think it'll be a problem. It looks like a lot of guys that they needed to you know, like Jordan Davis seems to be a new, you know, a different player. Those things seem to be a plus for them. So,
yeah. And we'll see, because they still, and Nick admitted, Damo, they're still at the low end of the league when it comes to practice time and things like that. Even though they acquiesced to Vic and Kellen Moore a little bit and given them a little bit more practice time on the schedule, but it's not much. It's the same as it's been. That's an organizational philosophy. I kind of agreed with it from the standpoint of, well, you can't prepare like you could in the old days anyway, so you might as well get to week one as healthy as possible. Like, I think that's their cost-benefit analysis, which I kind of agree with.
Yeah.
But the conditioning part is an issue, if that was an issue. And I think it was an issue last year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he mentioned that, I think he was talking about the, you know, installing the defense and whether they installed are still installing it. And he said, you know, back in the old days, you could do it slowly in training camp because you had such a long camp. And, you know, now it's different. I mean, you know, they installed some in the spring and now they're cramming some more down their throats.
Yeah.
I expect that as well. He's like, now you got to go.
Yeah,
it's got to be tough. I mean, these are not this isn't like a grade school offense and defense here. These are tough, you know, and you got very limited time to install this stuff.
Yeah. Vic is not going to, you know, he's not going to rotate his defensive tackles like they did last year. I mean, so these guys need to be in shape. I think it's been made clear to all of them, you know, you better, you know, when you get here for camp, I mean, they saw him in the spring, Grant. Obviously, it's not like the old days when, you know, the season's over and, you know, we'll see in July. But, you know, I mean, they know what they're in for. They know they're going down to Brazil in the first weeks. All these guys, if anybody doesn't know they have to be in shape, they shouldn't be on the field.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Dom, I want to ask you about Cooper DeJean. He was the one unfortunate news of the week for the Eagles. I thought overall they had a pretty good week. I thought they handled some of the controversies of the offseason, put them to bed pretty quick. This was the one story I thought that was unfortunate. What do you make of a guy? I mean, I'm concerned on it, Damo, because he's a rookie. He's never been through this before. This is such a big ramp-up period with a new coordinator, as we just talked about, installing all these new things. How far behind is Cooper DeJean going to be starting missing these first couple weeks of training camp?
Yeah, what's his injury again?
Hamstring.
Hammy.
He's looking at 3 weeks in, about 3 weeks. Yeah.
And those are ones that could linger too. Not saying it's gonna, but it could.
Well, with Bass guys, that's why they're being cautious, because you don't want it to aggravate and that kind of thing.
I mean, the good part is he's gonna be watching the install. He's gonna be in the meeting room. So it's not like he's, you know, left and went back to Iowa and will come back in 3 weeks. So
it's funny, though. But that, when you're not on the field, people forget about you all real quickly. And, you know, all of a sudden Quinion's taking slot reps and they're like, oh, we better try something else.
Yeah.
It's like, it's 3 weeks. The guy's going to be back.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the hope was you can get him out there week one, I think, from a lot of people. That's probably not going to happen, but it's not the worst thing in the world if it's week three or week four for a rookie player.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting they're trying so hard to find a replacement for Avante. I'm not sure what to make of that. Is it? Obviously, I understand why you want the contingency after what went down last year. But he can play when he's on the field. Now, he's never on the field, and you got to cross your fingers. But I'm saying, If he's on the field, if he's healthy, I have no problem playing Davante Maddox. Do you?
There's no question. I don't think there's any question with them. It's just that you can't trust him to be on the field. I mean, it's you know, the old saying about you can't make the, you know, the club in the tub. I mean, the guy's been hurt. How many games has he missed over the last 3 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And part of it is the way he plays, because he's such a small guy and he's so physical. And that's why he's a good slot. It's the run support stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the irony here is that, I mean, they're making contingency plans there. The guy, you look on the other side of the ball. I mean, we're talking about a guy like Barkley. You're holding your breath as well. I mean, the mileage, the on his legs, the injury history, the ankle injuries, the ACL. I mean, same situation there, and they have contingency plans there. They've got, you know, they've got Gainwell, they've got the kid they drafted from Clemson. So, that's the name. I mean, that's basically the name of the game in the NFL. People are going to get hurt one way or another, whether they have an injury history or not. And you damn well better have a backup that's ready to step up and be the next man in.
Yeah, it's the corners are going down this year. Darian Kendrick out in Los Angeles tore his ACL. Mekhi Blackman tore his ACL, Minnesota. Already it's starting, which is a shame whenever it happens. But if somebody could ever figure out how to prevent ACLs, he's going to make a lot of money, or she. And I don't know how you do that, but man.
Right up there with a cure for cancer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think they have cured cancer at Penn, but they just won't let us have the cure. But that's my conspiracy theory. I'm serious. I read about Penn. They're like, they made all these great advancements and, we need to make some money. Don't worry about that. But I digress. I've gone down a wormhole.
Yeah, be careful with that wormhole, Johnny.
Yeah. Doctors are doing great work. That's all I'll say. But and when we talk about that.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
At corner position and making the contingency, I get. Now, when you talk about the spot opposite Darius Slay, and, you know, they're doing what they did with Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard back in the day, at least, you know, it's 2 days, so we'll see if it continues.
Yeah.
But Isaiah Rodgers was out there first. Kaylee Ringo got day two. It'll be interesting to see day three. But when I bring up Mitchell, what's interesting to me about him is he starts every practice, and again, it's only two practices, Damo. He starts the Slay's backup at left corner, and then he plays some in the slot, and then he gets some first-team reps at right corner. They are throwing the whole kitchen sink at this guy. He played dime linebacker in the spring. I'm very hopeful by that. They think he can handle a lot, and that makes me think he's going to be ultimately the guy, whether it's week one, week two, week three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you draft him in the first round, he better be the guy.
Well, I don't mean long term. Yeah. But I mean short term. I think he's going to be the guy ultimately. Yeah. When you throw that much at him, I think, but we'll see.
Again, I don't think Vic's reluctant to do that. I mean, he wants to see what he can handle. And then at some point they'll make a determination whether he's handled it well enough to be the opening day starter on the other side. It wouldn't be the end of the world if he isn't. I mean, they have people, you know, you just mentioned a few, including Rodgers, that could play there. But clearly they have, you know, they think this guy is going to be really, really good. So they want him to know everything, be able to play everywhere and get him on, keep him on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, how it is. I think it's great to hear though that the gene goes down and then you have Quinion being able to float all around. That's got to be a a great position for Vic Fangio to be in, right? When you have players like that, that can move all over the field and that are, you know, good like that.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, you look at, I mean, even their previous defenses, I mean, it's all about versatility now. I mean, you want to have guys that can move, you can move around chess pieces that, so, you know, snap, they don't know what they're looking at. You know, they don't know if you, you know, if you're in a big safety look or, you know, a guy's playing corner or safety or linebacker, you want to confuse the quarterback. So, you know, that's kind of the name of the game these days.
You know, you mentioned Barkley a little bit, Damo. He was really showed up day one and the impact of day one. I'll bring Jalen into this as well, because Jalen looks a lot more spry. He looks like him old self from a physical standpoint in that plus one in the running game.
Yeah.
And they seem to be running a little bit more true option with Saquon. In one play, the defense just went to Saquon and Jalen faked the pitch and took it himself, and big gainer, you know, practice again, they don't have pads on, all that context, but I just envision the impact. If opposing teams do that, it's not even about numbers for Barkley. It's about, you know, making things easier for the other guys.
Yeah.
That could be really impactful for the Eagles offense. But to your point about the depth and the concern over his injury history, are they too redundant at running back? Kenny Gainwell does the same type of thing. They're not the same people physically, but there's the same types of backs. Will Shipley, same type of back. They don't have that big north-south runner. It's just going to – and I've been looking for that since LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. They don't seem interested in that. They got a bunch of young guys that nobody knows, Kendall Milton, Lou Nichols, Ty Davis Price, but – no, nobody cares.
Nothing from Kendall Milton, Johnny Mac.
Well, a little bit, but are they going to keep him on the 53?
Yeah, I don't.
You know, I mean, they don't have the big, you know, they don't have Earl Campbell. They don't have a guy that's just, you know, right up the gut and he's going to, you know, you're not going to be able to stop him. But I mean, Barkley's a pretty good inside runner. And I think the fact that they run an, you know, you got a quarter. I mean, Jalen's always going to, you can never stack the box with Jalen. Because if you do, he's going to keep it and run. So, I mean, that loosens things up for Barkley. I think one of the problems I always had with Miles Sanders, and everybody did, I mean, he didn't want to ever take it inside.
Yeah, he wanted to bounce everything out. So.
Yeah. And Gainwell's a tough runner, but he's small. I mean, he gets the most that he can when he runs it inside. They used him inside the 20, which kind of always confused me. But
you hit the nail on the head. It people don't think he's their toughest runner, but he was.
Even though
it was lack of size, that's why they did it. But that's my point. Why wouldn't you want somebody bigger in that type of situation who can do that?
Well, I mean, it's a passing game, and that. You know, you don't want to have a situation, say Gainwell and the kid from Clemson couldn't catch the ball. You know, Barkley gets hurt. You got to change your offense suddenly.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So, I mean, that's why I think they like sim. That's why team. I mean, you look at most rosters right now. There aren't a lot of running backs that can't catch the ball, can't pass protect, because if you can't do those things, you're probably not going to get on the field, especially pass protect, which Barkley's excellent at. I mean, that's going to be a huge plus for them with him out there as far as protecting Hurts when he's not going running out on patterns. So, you know, that's why I think you don't see the, you know, the big back, because you don't see the
nobody's getting Earl Campbell. You remember Leroy Horde? That's who I want, Damo. Remember Leroy? He had one of the greatest quotes of all time. It was, I think it was, on third and one, I'll get you three. On third and four, I'll get you three.
Yeah.
he was a great short yardage runner, though.
Well, who would you rather have right now, Barkley or Derrick Henry?
For this team, Barkley.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question.
There, you know, unless you're willing to change your offense for a guy like Henry, you know,
Barkley. I think that's a good compliment there, though. I don't know. I kind of like it. I get it. I get where you're going, John. I kind of like it, though, because it's the north to south guy, and we'll see how it works with them. But that's what I wanted here in Philly, so maybe I'm just biased and I'm wishing that we went that route. But
like I said, the thing with a quarterback like Hurts is it's going to allow Barkley to be more, I mean, be even more effective as a north-south runner than if you had a standard, you know, pocket passer. There aren't too many of those left in the league, but, you know, where teams could just stack that box. And you know, I mean, when you got Hurts, you know, you're widening that box.
I am interested to see that fit because that seems like a weird fit, Derrick Henry in Baltimore. Yeah, but, you know, from Baltimore's perspective, I think, like, they're not worried. Like, the Eagles want Saquon to get involved in the passing game. Like, the Ravens don't care. They're just looking for that extra presence that makes even Lamar more of a threat in the running game, which is frightening. So it could really work out well. And that comp might be brought up a bunch. But the Eagles are looking for a different type of back. So,
well, the problem I think the biggest difference, you know, between Jackson and Hurts and the offenses they're in, I mean, you can't do what Baltimore does with Jackson with Hurts because he won't last. I mean, he's not as elusive. You know, he's a fullback in a quarter, you know, playing quarterback.
Right.
He does a good job of getting out of bounds. He does a good job of getting down, but he's going to take some hits.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson doesn't, I mean, takes very few hits, even, you know, far less than even Hurts. So you can kind of let him do what he wants a lot of times, just kind of ad lib, where you really don't want to do that with Jalen.
Yeah. I mean, the tough part about Henry too is you're not really going to use him at a shotgun. At least he's not. Yeah. That's not the type of running back he is. So it definitely, I see why
they got him. They got to use him. It's going to be interesting to see the fit. You know, it might be spectacular and it might be the opposite, but it is intriguing because, you know, same thing in the running game, the presence of, you know, that type of running back with Lamar Jackson is going to create some confliction issues, to say the least, for the defense.
I'm surprised he's not in a wheelchair. I mean, he's got so much mileage and he's still, you know, a very effective running back. He's not as effective as he was, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, he had a good year last year. He's 12 touchdowns. I mean, but you're right. I mean, I just pulled it up. He's got, I talk about Barkley's at 1,500, which is a concern. Yeah. He's at 2,100 touches.
And you got to add college. You know,
because he was a workhorse, not just 1 year in college, multiple years. Yeah.
Same with Barkley. I mean, Barkley had, like, I want to say 600 carry or touches at Penn State.
So I think it was 900, Damo. 900 for
Barkley. 900, was it?
Yeah, at Penn State. Yep.
So you got to add that to the total because it's not like, you know, you traded in the car when you got to the NFL.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, he's a physical freak, though. Well, Saquon is as well, but Derrick Henry physically is just about Earl Campbell, because Earl Campbell, you know, I mean, some of those runs that Earl paid the price later.
Yeah.
But he was the most, I think, and you could speak even better to this, Damo. I think he's the most physical runner of all time, Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry's the closest thing we've seen to Earl Campbell, which is not Earl Campbell, but the closest thing. It's like Jim Schwartz's backhanded compliment to DK Metcalf. Well, you ain't Calvin, but you're the closest thing. That's how I kind of feel about Derrick Henry.
You know, and with the restrictions, you know, with the Matt Law and the hip roll now, and I mean that was one of the few ways you could get a huge man down.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting with how that impacts somebody like Henry, or any back, or any big tight end that suddenly cornerbacks, smaller cornerbacks and safeties got to figure out how to get on the ground.
Well, let's end it there with you. You brought up tight ends at P Damo. Make sure you follow Damo on X. Does a tremendous job. Hall of Fame selector for Philadelphia has done a tremendous job over the years with that. Nobody knows the history of this game better than Paul Domowicz. That's why I love him so much. My biggest surprise of the first 2 days of camp, Damo, they want Grant Calcaterra to be that second tight end. It's his job to lose.
Yeah,
that surprised me. You have CJ Uzama, who's aging, but he's been a very effective player earlier in his career. Was tremendous during the Bengals' run to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And I thought the fit, when I talked about fit at running back, I think Uzama's like 265, 270. He's a good blocker. And that, to me, would enable you to play Dallas Goedert more in a flex position. And then maybe your third wide receiver issues become a little bit less.
Yeah.
Now, with this, if you're going to play Calcaterra, Dallas has got to be in line most of the time when you're playing 12. And there's a couple things with that. The tendencies, are you highlighting? Well, you know, Dallas has got to block. I mean, Grant's not going to block anybody. Or is the hope is maybe he's turned into at least somebody who can get in the way?
Unless you play a lot of 13, then you've got, you know, then you bring your third tight end as the blocker. You know, you move Goddard over. Yeah, my guess here is that, you know, usually coaches kind of look at guys and see other guys, you know, the guys they coached before. And I'm wondering here if Kellen Moore looks at Calcaterra and sees Dalton Schultz, you know, a guy that was really good when he was with Dallas and Kellen Moore's offense, and is good now in Houston. So, I always liked Calcaterra. I mean, I just didn't know whether another concussion was going to end his career. Yeah,
that's always been my fear with him as well.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy, and you're right. I mean, all you need out of a tight – I mean, there are guys like Kittle and Dallas Goedert are rare. Guys who can actually play the position and do both catch and block. Most guys, like when Eagles all those years with Zach Ertz, all you wanted him to do was get in the way of people. And that's pretty much what you want from Grant Calcaterra now.
But I'll say this about Zach. He's a big dude. You know, it's easier for him to get in the way. Grant's like 240. I don't know. But it was interesting to me because I didn't expect that. And he's like the guy.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be a competition position. And I don't think it is going to be now. Yeah. And I think, and maybe you're right, because Kellen's had a lot of history, a lot of good history with tight ends and multiple tight ends and using them well.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a flashback and he sees some traits that he likes, and we'll see how that shakes out. But P. Damo, everybody, follow him on X, 33rd team, does a tremendous job as well there. And helps us out as many Fridays as he can, which I'm always much appreciative of. Damo, hopefully we'll see you next week.
Guys, have a good weekend.
Damo, thanks for joining, man. See ya. There's Paul Damo, which is joining us on Bird 365. Always good talking to Damo, a guy who's been covering the league for a long time, Hall of Fame selector. Great for me to listen to when I, you know, considering this is my first on-air training camp I'm covering. So listening to a guy like Damo, who's been doing many of them, you know, and you, John McMullen, but Damo's been doing it for a long time. So I love getting him on. Great to talk to him. We appreciate him being here. We're going to go to a commercial break. I got two players on my mind I want to talk to John McMullen about. I think the viewers in our chat box will know what two I want to talk about with Johnny Mack. Two we've been talking about all summer long. So I'll get into them, see what we saw from them on day one and two of training camp. I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. Dullahan, Saquad, Slagger, Dan, James Jones, our resident Commander fan. I appreciate everybody being here. Stay tuned. Bird 365 will be right back after the break.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV.
seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.